Today, if you like a title, I want to give you a title to this message. It's called A Pathway to Breakthrough. A Pathway to Breakthrough. Will you say that with me? A Pathway to Breakthrough. Or if you want this title, A Pathway to Power. Because what we're about to read is a shocking statement. And did God really mean what is in His Word, what we're about to read? Is it really something that He has for every person who calls on the name of the Lord? I hope that when we conclude this in just a few minutes, you'll say, I really believe that it is. Psychologists say this: if you want to measure the emotional temperature of someone, you ask them this question: are you happy? And the response to that question will tell you the emotional temperature of that individual. Whether they're happy or sad, they're victorious or they're defeated, life is good for them, or there's oppression in their life. So let me ask you this question: are you happy? I want you to know that as we're sitting here today in this very, very confusing time in our nation's history, suicide is at the highest level it has ever been as a nation. Not only among our young people, but because of our adult population. That since past March, when they've been tracking this, that the suicide, because people feel so overwhelmed, because they're confused because of the political rhetoric and violence that we see. They're confused because of the economic issues. No matter how many stimulus checks they get, that there's still so much pressure on people financially, that suicide is at the highest level it has ever been. There's anger in our politics at a level that we have never, ever faced before. And I told you on Friday night what politics means. Poly means many, and ticks means bloodsuckers. So I want you to understand that there is a level of anger that we have never seen before. Never before have we heard people say these things. Divorce rate, because people had to stay home from the pandemic and couldn't go to work. They found out very quickly they didn't have a relationship with their husband or their wife, and the divorce rate has spiraled out of control. Teen drug use is spiraling in our country again, because young people are looking for answers and they're trying to find out what can bring comfort and what can bring help, because I feel unloved, I don't get enough likes, I don't get enough views, I don't get enough follows, and I'm not famous on TikTok, and I don't have the followers and the viewers, so my life just doesn't measure up. And at a level we've never seen before, teens are turning to drugs again, and they're turning to suicide again. I want you to understand what I'm about to say. I need you to hear this very, very clearly. The future for America is not in a Republican or a Democrat. The future for America is in the church. I want to say that again. The future for America is not the Republicans or the Democrats. The future for America is in the church. And if you believe that, say, I believe. Have you ever, anybody here before ever put something together before without reading the instructions? Would you wave at me if you have? Okay, how many of you like me had to tear it back apart because you missed a step? Come on, would you be honest? Okay. What I'm about to show you is a pathway. I've talked to Bible college professors. I've talked to theological leaders. I've talked to teachers from our universities for the last 5 years. And they've assured me that what I'm about to share with you is exactly what Jesus was trying to say to us in this passage. That it really was a pathway, stepping stones toward breakthrough, our victory, our power in our life. Listen, the Bible tells us that those of us who know Jesus Christ, that we accept Him as our King and our Lord and our Savior and our Messiah, that we are a part of the kingdom of God. Everyone say the kingdom of God. I said this on Friday night. I want you to think that this room, this sanctuary, is a picture of the kingdom of God. And we are a part of the kingdom of God. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. Now I want you to take and then think of all of Gunnersville, Alabama. The city of Gunnersville, Alabama, outside this room, represents the kingdoms of this world. I want you to see that picture, that we in this place are a part of the kingdom of God. That means that we don't think like the world thinks. We don't go where the world goes. We don't talk like the world talks. We don't act like the world acts. At least that's what God wants from us. Oh, come on. That was pretty pukey. All right. I said, that's what God wants from us. Come on. And so we don't think like the world, we don't act like the world, we don't talk like the world, we don't go like the world. So that means if we're a part of the kingdom of God, we can rule in the reign in all of the chaos, we can dance in the middle of adversity, we can laugh in the middle of chaos, that no matter what is going on around us, because I believe in the eternal God of the universe whose name is Jesus, come on, that I can laugh in the middle of everything else. And we have found an answer to help everybody else know how they can be happy in life too. So I want to ask you again, are you happy? Some of you need to tell your face right now because you're looking at me like, does he always talk that fast? All right. And the answer is, yes, I do. All right. So I want to talk this morning about a pathway to breakthrough. Say it with me. A pathway to breakthrough. Come on, say it. A pathway to breakthrough. It was a gathering just like this that a minister was getting ready to preach and the people weren't paying attention. So he wanted to get their attention. So he piped up and he said, the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife. And the people piped up and their eyes got real big. And he said, and that woman was my mother. And everybody laughed just like you did. And he said, oh, that's really nice. So there was a guest minister who was there that day. And he said, you know, the next time my people aren't paying attention, I'm going to use that joke. So several weeks passed and he got up to preach one day and the people weren't really listening. So he said, I'm going to use that joke. So he said, he piped up real quick and said, the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife. And just like before, their eyes got real big and they were shocked. And then he said he forgot the punchline. And he said, and for the life of me, I can't remember what her name was. All right. Now, I want you to know that will get you in trouble. All right. So you got to know the details. You got to know the details. I want you to get the details of the stepping stones to breakthrough. You read Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. It's on the screen for you. Will you read along with me? I'm preaching from the New International Version, if it's different from yours. The scripture says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Now, what I'm about to read is shocking, and I want you to read this one out loud with me. Can you read it? Verse 19, we read out loud. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he ordered his disciples not to tell anybody that he was the Messiah. It's an amazing passage of scripture that God comes and he talks about some significant things that are very, very shocking statements that if we know who Jesus is, that not even the gates of hell would be able to prevail against us. He's not just talking to those, but he's talking to anybody who calls on the name of the Lord. That's you, that's me, those watching at home, those in this building, that if we know him, not even the gates of hell. And think about this, that he said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And think about this. This is a shocking statement that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Is that possible? Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Is that possible? And that we would have that kind of authority. I want to walk you through these stepping stones because we have to understand they're in order of what Jesus was revealing to us in this passage and what I'm calling a pathway to breakthrough. So I want to go back through the scripture with you. The Bible says that Jesus went to a region called Caesarea Philippi. Would everybody say that with me? Caesarea Philippi. Now, how many of you know if it made it in the book, it's important? The Bible says if everything about Jesus had been written, not even the whole world could contain all the things that would be written about Jesus. So if it made the book, it's really, really important. It was important to the writer here that Matthew wanted us to know that Jesus was in the geographical area of Caesarea Philippi. Let me give you the background of Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was a very, very mountainous region. It's a very, very rocky terrain. Anybody here ever been to Israel? Wave at me if you've been to Israel. You might know exactly what I'm saying. It was one of the first places I wanted to go when I went to Israel. And Caesarea Philippi is very, very rocky. There's a lot of rock formations, a lot of rock mountains all around that region. And it was a known time when Jesus went there of the false religions of that day. The terrorists of that day lived in this region. As a matter of fact, there was a cave that was there that was called the Cave of Pan for many, many years for panism, many gods. And it was actually called by Jesus, when it says the gates of hell, was a cave that's there in Caesarea Philippi that is the deepest cavern in the earth. As a matter of fact, every time they try to measure this cavern, they cannot measure it because they punch through the bottom and it goes deeper. They don't exactly know how deep it is, but it's the deepest cave cavern in the earth. And so it's in that area with all these rocks, with all these false religions, with all these terrorist types that are in that region, that Jesus took his disciples to ask them the two most important questions he was going to ever ask them. He asked them these two questions. He took them there with all of that background around them to ask them this: who do people say that I am? And there was real confusion about who Jesus was. They really didn't know who Jesus was. As a matter of fact, the disciples, they mentioned several things here. They say, well, some say Jeremiah, some say John the Baptist, some say maybe Elijah, maybe even Jeremiah. They really weren't sure who Jesus was. After Jesus had been with them for 3 years, he was asking, what did the people say about him? And they really, really weren't sure who Jesus was. Now look at me if you would. There is still confusion in this culture today, 2,000 years later, who Jesus is. And I can take you right now to the National Endowment of the Arts in Washington, D.C., and sitting in a jar of urine, human waste, protected by the Supreme Court since 1992, is a crucifix of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting in urine that's been on display through the freedom of speech protected by our national government leaders as an expression of speech. Now, I want to tell you something. They didn't put something of Buddha in there. They didn't put something of Muhammad in there, because they knew if they put something of Muhammad in there, they would have been riots in the streets because the Muslims wouldn't have taken that. Come on, help me now. But Christians all over the world got really, really angry because of what they put in the National Endowment of the Arts. And they got angry for a little while, then we settled right back down, and it's been sitting there on display since 1992. Our entertainers make fun of the name of Jesus. Our comedians make fun of the name of Jesus. Our movies make fun of the name of Jesus, because there's still real confusion about who Jesus is. As a matter of fact, if you're 25 years old or younger, I need you to stand up. We did this also on Friday night. 25 or younger, would you just stand up real quick? If you're 25 or younger, or wish you were, just go ahead and stand up. 25 or younger, okay? Miss Renee, you better sit back down. All right, okay. Okay, all right. Now, I want you to look around this room at this amazing group of 25 and younger in the balcony and on the floor around this room. I want to look at you, and I want to tell these beautiful young people something. I want you to hear something. These beautiful young ladies and these ugly men, listen to me right now. I want you to hear something. Yours is the first generation in American history that believes that there are multiple ways to heaven. It's been bombarded in our news. It's been bombarded in our education system. It's been bombarded again and again and again that there may be multiple paths to heaven. But the Bible tells us very, very clear that Jesus said, they came to him and said, Jesus, how can we show them the way? Jesus said, you tell them this: I am not some way, I am not one way, but I am the way, and no one can get to the Father but through Jesus. I want you to understand, I don't care what political leaders, I don't care what education leaders, I don't care what social people say on TikTok, on Instagram, on Snapchat, or any other venue. I want you to understand, Jesus is not some way. Jesus is the only way, and no one will get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Come on, that's something you ought to be shouting for right there. Now listen to me for just a minute. That doesn't mean that we're better than Muslims. It just means Jesus is better. Come on, somebody. That doesn't mean that we're better than Buddhists. It just means Jesus is better. Come on. It doesn't mean that we're better than Hindus. It just means Jesus is better. And so don't you be confused, and don't you be deluded, and don't you let them beat you down in today's culture that there are many paths to the same God. Reverend Oprah Winfrey ordained herself after 9/11 in New York City with George Pataki, the governor of New York, and Rudy Giuliani, the mayor of New York City at that time, in what was to be a healing service for America in Yankee Stadium. 60,000 people gathered in Yankee Stadium. I watched this live on national television, that she had every religious leader on the platform with her. She had Christians, she had Buddhists, she had Hindus, she had Jews, she had Sikhs, she had atheists, she had agnostics, she had every kind of religious leader that you can think of any religion that they could find. And they were standing on a platform behind her, and here is what Reverend Winfrey said to America as she ordained herself that day to be America's voice. She said this: these are all alternate paths to the same God. It does not matter how you worship, as long as you worship. Now let me tell you that Reverend Winfrey meant well, but she was wrong. I said, Oprah Winfrey meant well, but she was wrong. And people say, how can you say Oprah Winfrey was wrong? She's the richest woman in America. She has her own television show, her own magazines. Because again, say it with me. Jesus said, come on, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody is going to get to the Father but through Jesus. That doesn't mean that we're better than anybody. It just means Jesus is better. And if you're proud of these young people for being in church, would you give them a great, great, great big hand? We love you all. You can sit down. So Jesus wanted to know after 3 years of public ministry, what were the people saying about them? But there was real confusion. Some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. Well, maybe just Jeremiah. Then Jesus asked the disciples the most penetrating question he was ever going to ask them. But what about you, Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And I wasn't there, but I have a vivid imagination. What if they say the wrong thing? And how many of you know it wasn't uncommon for Peter to be the spokesperson for the disciples? And after maybe a moment of silence that they didn't know how to answer, Peter piped up and he said, I know who you are. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Do you know that Jesus got so excited that one of the only times that Jesus ever prophesied over an individual, Jesus got so excited that Peter knew who he was, that he was not just some guy who could do some mumbo jumbo. He's not a guy that could spit in the ground and rub some mud in a guy's eye and he could see. He was not a guy that could raise a few people from the dead. He wasn't some magician, but Peter knew you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Will you smile and say that? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you shout that again? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe there was an earthquake in hell and there was dancing in heaven that Peter knew who Jesus was. And Jesus got so excited, he prophesied over him. He said, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but this was revealed to you by my Father. And now that you know who I am, Simon, let me tell you who you are. You will no longer be Simon Bar-Jonah, which Bar-Jonah means son of. You will no longer be Simon, son of Jonah, but you will be Peter. And that word Peter comes from the word Petros, which comes from the word rock. And Jesus said, with all those rock formations around them and all those mountains of rock around them, when you know who I am, I'll help you and I will build my church on the fact that you know who I am. And when we and I'm going to rename you, I'm going to reframe you, and I'll build my church on that, and the gates of hell won't be even able to stop it. Come on. Listen, 40 years ago, Jesus reframed me. I am no longer Johnny Jernigan who I was 40 years ago. I was a 16-year-old boy. I was a borderline alcoholic, in and out of trouble with the law. My life was spiraling out of control. My mom and dad were getting a divorce. I didn't know what to do. I bought the lie that alcohol could help me, and it almost killed me. But a beautiful young lady invited me to go to church, and she was so pretty. I said, honey, I'll go anywhere with you. Hallelujah. And I went to church with her, and I sat on the back row of Moffett Road Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama, and I was passing notes to her the whole time the preacher was preaching, not paying attention. But I want you to know, I found something out that night that changed my life forever. And I'm not what I used to be. I'm a new creation. Jesus has renamed me. He has reframed me. My new name is Redeemed. Come on, somebody. No, my new name is Freedom. And my new name is Peace. Come on. And Jesus renamed me, just like he did the Apostle Peter. Woo! Everybody say, I love the little preacher. I think he's a sweet little man. Now, Brother Beard, you didn't say it, all right? You got to say it with me, okay? All right, so I'm watching real close, okay? All right. And then Jesus said this. He said, not even the gates of hell. Think about this statement with me. That not even the gates of hell will be able to prevail against you. And that I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Anybody got a set of keys with you? Would you take them out real quick? Would you take them out? You're going to need them in just a minute. Would everybody just take your keys out if you've got some keys with you? And I want you to hold on to them because you're going to need them in just a moment. Just can you shake them in the room so we can hear them all over the room? Okay. All right. Just hold on to them. Set them to the side. I want to give you four stepping stones to a pathway for breakthrough, because Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and you'll be able to bind things on earth and they'll be bound in heaven. You'll be able to loose things in earth and they'll be loosed in heaven. What did he mean? Let's walk through this. Number one, if I'm going to live in freedom, if I'm going to be happy in this life, number one, they're going to put it on the screen, I got to know who Jesus is now. I got to know who Jesus is now. Will you say that? I got to know who Jesus is now. In other words, do I know Jesus now? Not just something old or something cold. Do I know him now? Do I have a white hot relationship with him right now? Is it current with me? Not just something that I prayed a long, long time ago. Do I know him now? How many of you remember when the angels came and they told Mary that she was going to give birth to the Messiah? And she said, you will be with great with child. And she said, how could I be great with child? For I have never known a man. That word K-N-O-W-N. She had never been intimate with a man. That word mean to know means intimate. Am I intimate with who Jesus is now? Is he just my byline? Is he just my Sunday morning experience? Or do I know him in relationship right now, that he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way? Okay, let me tell you my story, okay? I told you a little bit about just a moment ago. When I was 16 and my mom and dad were getting a divorce, I had a really, really good friend who told me that if I could get drunk enough, I could forget the pain. I regret ever hearing that. But who else has heard anybody else ever hear that lie before? And I bought that lie because I didn't have anybody in my life. My mom and dad were not believers. No one in my family were Christians. And so I didn't know really what to do beyond that. So I bought that lie. And my life, for about 6 months, I should be dead. I should not be standing on this platform. And I'm ashamed that this is a part of my story. But unfortunately, it's a part of my past. And my life was spiraling. Lori Lasseter, that beautiful young lady in my school, who I will always love and cherish as a friend, she called me one day and she said, Johnny, we got a guest speaker in our church and we want you to come and hear him. And I said, well, Lori, I'll go with you. And so we went, sat on the back row. I'm passing notes the whole time, not listening to her, to the preacher. But all of a sudden the preacher said, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to go to hell. It was no ambivalence, and my ears, he didn't mumble, and my ears didn't wobble, all right? I want you to know, he made it very, very clear. He said, if you don't know who Jesus is, you're going to go to hell. There is no other hope if you don't know him. And then he said, there's somebody here that needs to know that God loves you, and God can help you, and he can give you a way to life. And I was sitting on that back row, and I thought, if God loves me and God can help me, then I want that. So I got up because the night before, I was out drunk. My life I hate to even tell the story, but I was driving down the road about 2 miles from my house. I was late for curfew. I knew my mom was going to be screaming at me when I came in anger because I was so late. And I got about 2 miles from my house, and I ran over a dog with my car. And it broke my heart that I hit this dog because I love animals. And I hit this dog, and I heard him just got out of the car looking for him and just heard him yelping through the bushes, just, roar, roar, roar. And I didn't know what to do in my drunken state, and I just jumped back in the car, and I hit the gas, and I got about a half a mile from my house, and I ran over another dog. Now, running over dogs is not my ministry, all right? I want you to know. I've never hit another animal ever since that time, but the second dog was huge. It got caught up underneath my car, and I was trying to pull it out, but it was hurt, and it kept trying to bite me, and I didn't know what to do. And in my drunken state, I just got in the car, and I hit the gas, and I just rolled that dog out from underneath my car. I still see him flopping down the highway in the rearview mirror every time I tell my story. I went home that night thinking it could have been a man or a woman that I ran over with my car, and my life just out of control. When Lori called me the next day and I'm sitting on the back row of that church, and that preacher said, God loves you and God can help you. I said, I want that. And I went to the front. I said, Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to go to hell, and I don't want to run over any more dogs. And that night, July 22nd, 1979, I gave my life to Jesus, and I haven't had a drink of alcohol in my mouth since that night. God changed my whole trajectory of my life. Everything in my life changed. Right after that, I led my dad to Christ. I led my mother to Christ. I led my brother to Christ. He's a Baptist preacher. Y'all pray for him. And then I led two of my sisters to Christ, and God changed everything for me. And I love the Baptists because they taught me so much. But I want you to know, God changed my whole future because I found out who Jesus was. Not just from a religious expression, not just from going and sitting in a building. I know who Jesus is. Come on. If you know who Jesus is, hold your hand up with me. Come on, would you? If you're not ashamed of the fact that you know who he is, come on, wave at me. Well, I know him. Do you know him? If you're watching at home, do you know him? In the balcony, do you know him? So see, I got to know who Jesus is now. Number two, write this down. Not only must I know who Jesus is now, I must confess who Jesus is now. I must confess who Jesus is now. When they came to the disciples and Jesus wanted to know, who do you say that I am? And probably that silence that was there for a moment. And then Peter pipes up and he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. It would have been enough for him to know it, but if he had not confessed it, we may never have understood what was given to us that day. He opened his mouth and said it out loud. Can I tell you, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason? So your ears can hear what your mouth is saying. If your mouth is saying, it's never going to get better, it's never going to get better, it's never going to get better, guess what? It's probably never going to get better. If your ears are hearing your mouth say, I'll never win, I'll never win, I'll never win, guess what? You'll probably never win. If your ears are hearing your mouth say, it's never going to change, it's never going to change, it's never going to change, guess what? It's probably never going to change. But if your ears are hearing, I am an overcomer, I am an overcomer, I am an overcomer through Jesus Christ, guess what? You can overcome. If your ears are hearing your mouth say, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, guess what? Come on, the blood of the Lamb is enough. If your ears are hearing your mouth say, the cross was enough, the cross was enough, the cross was enough, guess what? The cross is enough. And when Peter piped up, I'm not even sure he really understood what he said that day, but he recognized it. He said, I know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I truly believe there was an earthquake in hell at that moment. It's not enough to know him. We have to confess him. We have to say it out loud to let our ears hear so that our heart can hear. And that's why he says, you pray the prayer of repentance. Let me finish my story. The night that I got saved in Mobile at Moffett Road Baptist Church, my pastor, he came up to me in the altar, and he said, boy, he called me boy. He said, boy, you got saved tonight. And he said, I want you to, on your way home, tell somebody about Jesus. And I was 16 years old, and I couldn't believe, number one, the pastor was talking to me. In the 800-member Baptist church, I couldn't believe that the pastor came and took time to talk to me. He said, boy, you didn't just pray a prayer. He said, you got saved. He said, on your way out, he said, on your way home, tell somebody about Jesus. So I was like, okay. So I said, well, I guess that's what you do. And so I didn't know any better, and I had not been taught to disobey. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to do what the preacher said. So I went down to a 7-Eleven right down the street from my house. Because they sold ices. Anybody like ices? I love ices. And they had banana flavor ices. And I'd walked in there all the time and it was to get ices. And there was a lady behind the counter. And nobody else was in the store. So I was looking and I saw that lady. And I said, I'm going to tell her. You kind of look like her a little bit, that lady right there. And I'd seen her behind the counter, but I'd never talked to her. But I was really nervous because I wanted to tell her that I just gave my life to Jesus. But I was nervous. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Come on. I really wanted to tell her, but I didn't know how you did it. So I walked up to her with all the faith and boldness of a 16-year-old who had just given his life to Christ. And I said, could I please have an icy? And I was shaking. And she said, man, you really want one bad, don't you? All right. And I was like, oh, man, I blew it. That's not how you do it. So I paid for my icy, and I started to walk out. And when I got to the door, the Spirit of God stopped me again. It's one of the first times I ever remember God speaking to me. He said, no, go back and tell her right now that you just gave your life to me. Go back and tell her. So I got all my faith and boldness up again. I walked into the counter, and I was still really nervous. And I said, could I ask you a question? And she said, yes. I said, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? And she said, yes, I sure do. And I was like, thank God. All right, because I didn't know what you did after that, all right? I just did what the preacher told me to do. And she said, that's so nice you're out here telling people about your faith in Jesus. And I'm telling you, I floated out of that 7-Eleven because it felt so good to confess and to say it out loud that I'm not what I was just a couple of hours ago. I've been set free. I know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Come on, say it. I know who Jesus is. Come on, say it. I know who Jesus is. Come on, shout it. I know who Jesus is. We can't be ashamed of the fact that we know him. The next afternoon, my pastor called me. He said, boy, he always called me boy. He said, boy, you got saved last night. He said, listen, I'm going to tell people about Jesus at 6 o'clock, and I want you to meet me at the church. We're going to go knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. And he was framing me for my whole future. And so he said, meet me there. I got there at 5:30. He pulled in right at 6 o'clock. We had a word of prayer. We went right across the street from that church, that Baptist church, and we knocked on the door. And a great big guy, about 6'6", about the size of a refrigerator, opened the door. And he said, what do you want? And he said, hey, I'm Dan Springfield. This is Johnny Jernigan. We want to tell you about Jesus and what Jesus can do in your life. And he said, you get the blankety blank off my front porch. I don't want your blankety blank material. And don't you ever blankety blank ever come back here again. And he slammed the door in our face. And that was my introduction to evangelism. And I mean, it was harsh. And the pastor looked at me, he said, Johnny, it's not always that bad. He said, look, he said, we can just go back to the church and pray, or we can go to the next house if you want to. What do you want to do? And all I can tell you is I didn't want to do anything else but that. So I said, let's go to the next house. So I went to the next house, We knocked on the door, and a lady about this tall and about as big around as she was tall opened the door. And the pastor, she said, yes. And the pastor said, hello, I'm Dan Springfield. This is Johnny Jernigan. We want to tell you about Jesus and what Jesus can do in your life. And she said, come on in. And we walked into her living room, and she had just made some fresh chocolate chip cookies. I'll never forget this. They were about that thick. They had massive chocolate chips in them that when they melt, they run all through the cookie. And they were hot. You could smell them in the room. And then she brought us out some iced tea, and it was so cold, it had ice on the outside of the glass. And so she gave us an ice-cold glass of iced tea, and then there's, I mean, massive chocolate chip cookies. I mean, they were about that thick, had huge chocolate chips in them that when they melt, they run all through the cookie. Who wants one right now? Come on, hallelujah. All right. And so she gave us a cookie. She gave us some sweet tea, and we sat down with her. And then the pastor began to talk to her about a relationship with Jesus and what it means to know Jesus. And then he shocked me, and he turned to me, and he said, Johnny, tell her what Jesus did for you last night. And I got real scared again, and I got real nervous. So I was like, I'm not getting drunk anymore. I gave my life to Jesus last night. And that's literally all I could say. I didn't know what else to say. And the pastor said, isn't that good? She said, that's so good he's out here with you. And then the pastor said, would you like to know Jesus the way we've talked about him? And this woman was a Catholic. She knew a lot about Catholicism, but she didn't know the God of Catholicism. She didn't know Jesus. And she said, I want to know Jesus the way you've talked about him. And does anybody here remember Woody Woodpecker? I will never forget, after she prayed to receive Jesus, she started bouncing around her living room, laughing like Woody Woodpecker. Just bouncing all over her living room. She died 5 years ago, and I did her funeral. And I was there the night she placed faith in Christ, and I was there the time that she went to her eternal reward. And all I can tell you is that in 24 hours of my salvation experience, Brother Broadus, I saw the gospel work twice, first at a 7-Eleven and then at the home of an unbeliever, and I have been hooked ever since. That I found out it's not enough just to know him. I've got to confess him, and I got to get really, really loud. I got to get really, really loud. In 1999, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, some people might remember that name of that band. They stood up in the MTV Awards that year, and the commentator said, you are infecting this generation. They said, and influencing this generation. And they said, we're not influencing this generation. We're enraging this generation. We're engaging this generation. And we own this generation. Can I tell you that they were really, really loud about what they believed in their sex and drugs and rock and roll? I believe it's time for the people who know who Jesus is to get really, really loud and say, I'm not ashamed of the fact that I know who Jesus is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Will you say it? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Will you shout it? Come on. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on, can you give him just a shout of praise? I believe it. I believe it. And when after they said, we know who you are, and they confessed who you are, here's the third step I want to give you. Here's the third stepping stone. Write this down somewhere. We must push against injustice now. We must push against injustice now. In other words, he said, push against the gates of hell. And I'm using the word injustice for that word gate. Can I get a couple of volunteers? Can you come up here and help me real quick? And can you come here? And Brother Seth, can you come up here? And Brother Beard, can you come up here since I was picking on you a minute ago? Can you come up here? Can y'all just come up here? And these guys are going to be my gate. Would y'all give them a great big hand, all right? Would y'all just line up right here? Just line up shoulder to shoulder. Right there, just get shoulder to shoulder right next to each other. Okay, this is our gate. Just get real, real tight together, real, real close, all right? And give us a real gate look on your face. Okay, there's your gate, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so this is my gate, okay? Now, anybody ever seen a gate before? A gate is inanimate. It doesn't have any life of its own, right? And it keeps out or it holds in. It's supposed to keep something out or it's supposed to hold something in. And Jesus said this. He said, if you know me, if you confess me, he said, not even the gates of Hades. He was referring to that cave that was there and all the false religions that were in that region. Not even the demons of this world, not even the darkness of this world, not even the terrorists of this day will be able to stop you. You'll have power and authority over all of them. Listen, the devil's not terrified of me. I'm 5'8" and pounds. All right? He is, and you'll have to figure out how many pounds that is later. All right? But the devil, and you're growing in the ministry. All right? So So I want you to know, the devil is not terrified of me. I'm 5'8" and a few pounds, but he's terrified of the Jesus in me. The devil's not terrified of you, Brother Mustache, but I can tell you this. He is terrified. That's a goatee, too. There it is. He is terrified of the Jesus in you, and we've bought the whole lie. So what we think is that life is all about the gates of hell against us. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Is that what he said? I want you to get that in context. He said, not even the gates of hell will prevail against you. In other words, we're the ones putting the pressure against the gates. It's not the gates putting pressure against us. And what we think, can y'all just kind of lean against me? Just lean this way a little bit. Come on, just kind of lean a little bit and push just a little bit. Come on. And what we think is keep pushing. And what we think is that the devil is, keep pushing. Yeah, the devil's so big and so bad, and they'll never get saved. They'll never change. We're never going to have revival. Nothing's ever going to change. It's too dark. It's never going to happen in my life. That's not what it means. It means that greater is he that is in me, and I have the power to push against these gates, against them, and I can get around them. Come on. All right, now come on, would you give these guys a great big hand? All right. You can be seated. All right, now, they could knock me down if they want to, couldn't they? I want you to understand this, and I want you to get this picture in your mind. It is not the gates of hell against us. It is us against the gates of hell. It is not the gates of hell against me. It is me against the gates of hell. Come on, say it. It is not the gates of hell against me. It is me against the gates of hell. That means that little blonde-headed lady right there. Will you stand up real quick? That one right there? Yeah. That means an ordinary, pretty blonde-headed girl just like that one standing up, that the devil is terrified that you're going to come awake to the fact of who Jesus is. He is not just some ordinary man. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And when you know him and you confess him, that you can push against in darkness anywhere in this region, and they have to bow to the God that lives in Sister Blonde Hair right there. Come on. I said they have to bow to the God who is in Sister Blonde Hair. Is that right? Just an ordinary person. You can sit down. That means that brother right back there with the mustache. Stand up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next to the girl with the hair on her head. All right. Listen, I want you to know. That means an ugly guy, a handsome guy just like you, that if you know who Jesus is and you're confessing who Jesus is, that whatever injustice is in this city, you have the authority of God as you stand with your pastors to push against that darkness. And no matter what it is, it has to bow not to you, but the God who lives inside of you. Do y'all believe that about that man? That means every other person in this room who says, I know who he is, and I'm confessing that I know who he is, that I can push. If drug addiction is rising in Gunnersville and we start pushing against it, I believe that drug use will go down. That means if alcoholism is rising in this region, if divorce is rising in this region, if suicide is rising in this region, that we as the people of God say, it's not that against us, it is us against that. And we are going to push against that in the name of Jesus. And it doesn't have to bow to you and it doesn't have to bow to me. But I promise you, it has to bow to the name of Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. At the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Woo! I know him. I confess him. I'm going to push against injustice. And here's the last one. Come on. Here's the last one. I need to take my keys of authority right now. I need to take my keys of authority right now. Everybody get your keys back out, can you? Can you get your keys back out for me? Can I borrow your keys right there? Mm-hmm. You just throw them. Awesome. Thank you. Hallelujah. Can you shake those keys so I can hear them all over the room? Come on. And you can go ahead and begin to play, Miss Renee, if you don't mind. All right. Look at me. I want you to hear this. This sweet lady just gave me her keys. And I can tell right there that's a Toyota key. And what I can do is I can wait for everybody else to leave today. And I can go find your car. And I can go get in, and I can start it up, and I can go anywhere I want to. And probably that's a house key right there. Yeah, because it has the little blue thing around it. And what's your name? Now that I know your name, Patty, I can look you up on the internet. And I can find out what your address is. And I can go in her house, and I can get in her refrigerator, and I can eat her food, and I can prop my feet up, and I can have a great time in her house. Thanks, Patty. That's awesome. No, listen, I want to show you something. I want you to see this. Keys represent authority. Have you ever tried to get in somewhere before and you couldn't get in because the doors were locked? Is that the most frustrating thing? a store's not open. You're like, it says they're open, but they're not open. Have you ever loaned your keys to somebody and they wouldn't give them back to you? And you couldn't get in your car or your house or what you needed to? You ever lost your keys before? Come on. And you couldn't get where you wanted? Because these open the doorways for you to have access. Here's what Jesus was saying in this passage. If you know who I am, if you confess who I am, I'll give you the authority to push against injustice, and everything that I have in my house, I'll give to you in your house. I'll help you open the doors so you can walk through the pathways that I have marked out for you, and you can accomplish what I've called you to accomplish. Hallelujah. Jesus is not returning for a dull, bored, weak, anemic, scared, scratched up, indifferent bunch of losers. He's coming back for a victorious church, a church that knows how to live above and not beneath, to be the head and not the tail, blessed going out and blessed coming in, that theirs is a delightful land. They lend to many nations, they borrow from none, and that we're not depressed like everybody else. We're not suicidal like everybody else. And when those lies come on us, we know how to go to our church. We know how to go to the Word. We know how to go into worship and throw those strongholds off of us, because we are a part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And no matter what the world's systems do, we can rule and reign with Christ. Can I give your keys back to you? There you go. Listen, here's what I want to close with. I want you to look at this. And I want to ask you again, are you happy? If you're not, I want to tell you today that why you need to be in this house every time the doors are open, and stand with Pastor Gary and Pastor Renee, because I'm with a lot of pastors every week. And I'm just telling you, I preach every week somewhere in America. And I feel that the Lord is releasing something over this house, that the Lord is saying, I want to give you the keys to this region. There are ancient pathways in this region waiting for somebody to open the doors. Open up the ancient doors that the King of Glory can come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. Open up the ancient doors that the King of Glory, God is wanting to put keys in your hand to have authority over depression, authority over suicidal thoughts, authority over financial pressure, authority over relationship issues, authority over every enemy that attacks your mind and your thinking. Because as a man thinks, so is he. God wants you to win. He wants you to laugh. He wants you to truly know what real joy is. And it comes by knowing Him, by confessing Him, by pushing against injustice and taking my keys. I know Him, I confess Him, I push against the enemies, and I'm taking my keys. I know Him, I'm confessing Him, I'm pushing against the enemies, and I'm taking my keys. I know Him, I confess Him, I'm pushing against the enemies, and I'm taking my keys. Can you say it? I know Him, I'm confessing Him, I'm pushing against the enemies, I'm taking my keys. Come on, one more time. I know Him, I'm confessing Him, I'm pushing against the enemies, and I'm taking my keys. One more time. I know Him, I'm confessing Him, I'm pushing against the enemies, and I'm taking my keys. Who wants to laugh? Come on. Who wants to win? Who wants to overcome? Would you bow your heads with me? Nobody looking around for just a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody leaving for just a moment if you can. Pastor will come. This is just a holy, holy moment. And we're going to ask if you'll just hang with us for just a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I just want to tell you this. If nobody's told you today, Jesus loves you. He's not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. He truly, truly loves you. But He loves you too much to leave you where you are. And He wants you to know the truth of who Jesus is. And with all the political noise that's going on today, and with all of the chaos we see happening in our culture, Jesus is screaming to the culture, I am still the way, I am still the truth, and I'm still the only way to the eternal Father. Pray, Christian, somebody's life is in the balance. I want you to ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. If you die today, do you know that you know that you know that you'd be in heaven with Jesus? It's a really important question. Every person's going to have to answer this question. And I need Christians to pray. The Lord is talking to someone in this room right now. You might be watching at home. You might be in the balcony. You might be on the floor. But the Lord is speaking to someone right now. Ask yourself, if you died today, if today was your last day on this planet, do you know that you know that you know that you'd be in heaven with Jesus? It's a really important question. See, you can fool me because I'm pretty easy to fool. I live in Mobile. You might be able to fool your friends. You might be able to fool your neighbors. You might be able to fool your family. You might be able to fool your pastors. You might be able to fool your coworkers. You might even be able to fool the police. But I can tell you this, you will never fool God. He knows you intimately. And what Pastor said earlier this morning, that even that, he still loves you and he knows it. And he says, I've come to set the captive free and to give life to the brokenhearted and to give liberty to those that are bruised. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, ask yourself, if you died today, do you know that you know that you know that you'd be in heaven? They're screaming in hell right now, begging us to listen. It's too late for those in hell. It is not too late for you and me in this room. I don't care how many drugs you've taken, how many drinks you've had, how many things you've done wrong, how many mistakes you've made, how many times you've fallen down to get back up. I want you to know, nothing can separate you from his love. He loves you, but he wants you to come close to him. So no matter who's on your right and left, no matter who's in front of you and behind you, I want you to know that God is speaking to you. You're the only person I'm talking to right now. You're the only person I'm talking to. And God is saying, if you'll let me in, I'll show you. You can know me. You can confess me. You can push against the enemies. And I can give you keys today that you can have absolute authority over every enemy. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, no matter who's in front of you and behind you, this is not between you and anybody else. This is between you and your eternal God. If you're here today, or if you're watching at home or somewhere else, and you say, you know what? I'm not sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. I want to know that. I want to make sure that. But there's distance between God and me today. And I realize that I need to get closer to him. I realize I need to know him again. I need to become more intimate with him. Would you pray with me? No matter who's on your right, left, no matter who's in front of you and behind you, if you realize there's something wrong, if you realize there's distance between you and God, if you realize that if you died today and this was your last chance to ever live on this planet, that you are not prepared to stand before the eternal God, now is the time to get it right, that you surrender, that we were singing. And if they could just sing that song again, that I surrender all. That we were just singing that just a little while ago, that God, that I want to just surrender all that I am to you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, no matter who's around you, who's in front of you and behind you, if you're at home, wherever you are, if you say, Pastor, I know I can fool everybody else. I know I can fool my friends. I know I can fool my pastors. I know I can fool the police, but I can't fool God. So please, oh God, please, I want to get closer to you. If that's you anywhere in this room, no matter who's around you, when I count to three, you raise your hand, shove it down the devil's throat, and it's going to start a new journey of victory for you today. No matter who's around you, when I count to three, you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I know I can fool everybody else, and I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure that heaven is right, and I am right with God. Include me in that final prayer. When I count to three, raise it right now. Here we go. One, two, three. That's me. Yes. Yes, I see you back there in the back, sweetheart. I see you, young lady. I see you, young lady. I see you, young lady. I see you, sir. I see you, sir, in the back. I see you, sir. I see you, young lady. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down. Do you know the Bible says that the angels rejoice when someone comes close to Christ? That there's a party in heaven when one comes close to Christ. I'm going to ask again. Pray, Christians. Pray there might be somebody else. If maybe you think you should have raised your hand with these other six or seven people just a moment ago. Maybe you're at home and you say, I need to raise mine. You raise it. God will see it right there. If you didn't raise your hand a moment ago here in this sanctuary, you're in the balcony or on the floor, and you say, Pastor, I need to get closer to God. I need to make sure that there's nothing between God and me. I want to make sure that heaven's my home. I know I can fool everybody else, but I want to make sure that I know him. I don't want to play any games in this political climate. I want to make sure that heaven's my home. If you didn't raise your hand a moment ago, but you know you should have, when I count to three, you raise your hand and shove it down the devil's throat. Don't let anything stop you. Here we go. One, two, three. Raise it right now. Anybody else? Yeah, I see you, honey. I see you, honey. I see you, honey. I see you, honey. Anybody else? We're not asking you to join this church. We're asking you to join the kingdom of God. Anybody else? Raise it now. Raise your hand. Anybody else? That's me, Pastor. I know God's speaking to me. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down. Father, I thank you, Lord, that I've done everything you told me to do today. Now, Lord, I pray you give the increase, help me decrease, and let your will be done, I pray in Jesus' name. Would everybody stand with me, please? Again, nobody leaving for just another moment. Pastor will come and dismiss us in just a few minutes. Would you look at me all across this room? I want you to know, every person that raised their hand a moment ago, I know who you are. You know who you are. God knows who you are, and the devil knows who you are. That's the first step to raise your hand. The second step is to publicly confess Jesus. He was crucified publicly, buried publicly, and resurrected publicly. Nobody's going to laugh at you in here. 40 years ago, when I walked from the back row of Moffett Row Baptist Church in Mobile, they were all saying, there goes Johnny, because they knew my alcoholic ways. and they knew that my life was a mess, but nobody was laughing at me. They were giving me a standing ovation. It was awesome. Can I tell you, nobody's going to laugh at you in here. We're going to give you a standing ovation. Is that right, church? Because we know what God can do in your life and that Jesus is so amazing. Religion is not worth anything, but Jesus is worth everything. I'd like every person in this room, would you turn and look at the person next to you and say, hey, if you need to go get close to Jesus, I'll go up there with you today. Would you just turn and ask someone that question? That question could change somebody's destiny. Would you just turn and ask them, whether you know them or not? Just turn and ask them that question and say, hey, if you need to get close to Jesus today, I'll go with you. And every person that raised their hand across this room a moment ago, or if you didn't and you should have, and you say, I know I need to get closer to Jesus, when I count to three, get out of your seat right now. Here we go. One, two, three. Come on, every person that raised their hand. Every person that raised their hand, come on up here. Out of the balcony, come on. All those that raise their hands, come on, I'm waiting for you. That's it, come on. I'm waiting for you. Come on in the back, I'm waiting for you. Come on, I'm waiting for you back there. I'm waiting for you, sweetheart, come on. I'm waiting for you back there, come on. Can you clap till they all get here? Can you clap till they all get here? Can you clap till they all get here? Hallelujah, Lord. Can y'all come right down here? Can y'all come right down here? Come on, will you clap for them, church? Come on. Come on, don't stop. The Bible says the angels rejoice. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Listen to me for just a minute. Can I tell you something? Do you know you're much more handsome when you smile? You're much more handsome when you smile. And you've heard enough in your lifetime that it feels like sometimes life's not worth living. But the Lord says that today can turn everything around, that as you stand with Pastor Gary in the days ahead, that you're never going back to what you were when you walked in this building, but you're going to walk as the man of God that God is calling you to be, man of God. I love you. That means it's not about where you've been. It's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going. I don't deserve this. All I know is 40 years ago, I fell in love with a man who said that I could live, and he changed me forever. And I've never gotten over it. I've never gotten over it. And all your life has been given to maybe some other things. But this season of your life can be the greatest season of your life. How old are you? How old are you? 50 years old. That this is, could be the greatest season of your life, that you walk in all that God has for you. While I was preaching, I was looking back there at you, and I was just, and I could feel the hurt that you hide behind that beautiful smile. And sometimes it feels like, man, this is heavy. And does anybody know what I'm going through? But God knows what you're going through. And he holds you in the palm of his hand because he loves you. And you're never alone. You're never alone. And we're so proud of you that you took those steps. That, man, it's hard to make those few steps because sometimes we don't know people. And people pray in every religion. And why is standing in front of a building going to change my life? Because when you took a step toward God, he took two toward you. And that, man, that if you've given him this much, now give him everything. And he'll give you everything that you need so that you can win, man of God. That it can all change today. It can all change today to be what God has called you to be. That this season is the greatest season of your life. That, man, listen, with that much hair, you're famous everywhere. I'm going to get you to lay hands on me in just a minute, all right? But do you know what, man? That there's a lot of people pulling on you. There's a lot of people pulling you. But today God's grabbing you and he's pulling you. And he's saying, run to him. Don't be ashamed of him. And say, I know him. I know him. I know him. And he says, I'll give you keys. I'll give you keys. Is that what Jesus said? Is that what Jesus said? If you got a family member or a friend up here, would you come stand behind them? If you got a family member or a friend up here, would you just come stand right behind them real quick? And I'm going to give you just a second to get here. Can I get a man behind my brother right here? Can I get a man behind my brother right here? Can one of you come and stand right behind him? There you go. And I need a man right here behind my brother right here. And we're just going to get in the prayer of agreement right now. And we're going to agree. Is this one part of your family? Yeah, awesome. Let me tell you something. I am nothing. I'm nothing. But he is everything. And you're going to remember my ugly face. And you're going to remember this day. And I say that phrase a lot, but let me tell you why. I want you to remember this moment. I remember this moment when I was your age. And I just regret that I waited till I was 16. And if you'll give God everything, son, everything that heaven is can be yours. Amen? And maybe you're the one that Gunnersville's waiting on to say, this is the answer. this is the answer. I know who he is. Hallelujah. And God's going to help you. Would everybody stretch your hands toward these? And if you're watching online, will you pray this prayer? Those in the balcony, would you just agree with us right now? And I'd like for everyone to pray this prayer out loud. And I want you to agree as you pray this prayer. Jesus said to confess him. And we're going to do that right now. So would everybody pray this with me out loud all across the sanctuary and those online? Would everybody pray this with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I know it was my sins that nailed you on the cross. And I'm sorry, Lord. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So I say with my mouth that Jesus is the Christ. And I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I give you my past, all of my mistakes, all of my hurt, all of my pain, all of my sin. I give you my future, everything I will ever be. And I receive you now as my only Lord, as my only hope, as my only way to heaven. You died for me. Help me live for you for all of my days in Jesus' name. I want my keys of authority over every enemy, and I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stretch your hands toward them. Father, break every word curse, every soul tie, every generational curse, every genetic curse. Loose them, powers of hell. They are the property of Jesus Christ. And they belong to Jesus. And God, let them this day walk out of this place saying, I know who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is, and I'm not ashamed of him. But I'm going to live for him and set them free from every enemy set against them. But let them walk out with the victory of Christ that comes through your cross. And we bless them now. We ask that they are the property of the King of Kings in Jesus' name. Can we give Jesus a standing ovation for these today? Can we? Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I know we're a few minutes over, so pastor's coming. Let me give you some instruction. Number one, get baptized in water. Get baptized. Even if you did it before, obviously it didn't work the first time. Do it again. It didn't work for me the first time because I didn't understand dying and that water to come up in resurrection life. So pastor will help you to get baptized in water. Do it in front of everybody and say, I know him. Second thing is have a house cleaning. If there's anything in your house that stands between you and God, flush it, burn it, trash it, get rid of it. It's poison and it'll destroy you. Third thing, stay in this church every time and let pastor teach you. Let him build you and grow in the things of God, that this is going to be your season for growth. Amen? Amen? Can we give him one more standing ovation, church? Awesome. If you're here today and you need God to turn something around for you, you need something to unlock, hold your hand up. You need, I'm holding my hand up. My wife and I are facing something right now that we need God to unlock for us. If you need God to unlock something for you, if you need God to open a door for you, if you need God to shut something for you, you just hold your hand up, whatever it might be, whatever it might be. Now would you lift the other hand to heaven if you're comfortable with that? Father, you see every hand that is raised. Come on, say it out loud. Say, I know him. Say, I'm confessing him. Come on, say it, I'm pushing against my enemies. And come on, say it, I receive my authority. Now, Father, you see every hand that's raised in this room. You see where the pressure is coming against them. And, Lord, some of these need a doorway to open. I'm asking today that you would put keys in their hands and that they would open the doors and they would walk into the future of everything that you have for them. That they're going to see the miracles of God in a way they've never seen them. That they're going to be free of their past. They're going to see the fullness of God. And we're going to prove to the world right now in this political climate that the way to be free, the way to be happy is to know Jesus Christ and to be filled with the glory of his kingdom. So Lord, push the demons away that are harassing them, and Lord, open the door. Come on, get mad with the devil and say, I want my keys. I want my keys, Lord. I want to open that door. I want to lock the enemy out. I want to open the door that I can walk through. Whatever you need God to turn around, believe right now that God is turning that around for you right now. Come on, believe it and say, God, I believe I receive it. I believe I receive your help. I believe I receive your strength. I believe that you are with me today in Jesus' name. Now lift your hands as high as you can and give him praise. And say, I thank you, God, that you're able. Go ahead and give him a shout of praise. Can you? Come on. That God, we believe, we believe, we believe, we believe, we believe that you are able, oh God, to put keys in our hands. Here's what I want you to do. When you unlock your car door in just a minute, Patty, I gave you your keys back, didn't I? All right. When you unlock your car door, say, God, I have my keys, and I'm going to unlock the doors to the future, and I'm going to lock the doors to the enemy. When you unlock the door to your house, say, God, I have my keys, and I'm unlocking the doors to my future, and I'm locking the doors to the enemy. And say, Pastor, we're going to stand with our keys. Would you come up here, Pastor? Would you stretch your hands towards your pastor right now? I told him before the service today, because we have done this about 100 years now, but I want you to believe that this is the beginning of opening the doors to souls flooding into this house. Can we believe God for that? Father, we believe with Pastor Gary. Thank you for he and Renee and the vision that you've given him. Now we believe, oh God, that this is the beginning of a new season that we know you, Jesus. We're not ashamed of you, Jesus. And Pastor Gary has never been that. He has always been a champion of discipleship. He's always been a champion of building people. And God, I just pray that you open the doors of this community. And we call Gunnersville in from the north and the south and the east and the west, that God, this is the beginning, that they're going to see, they're going to know Jesus. They're going to confess Jesus. They're going to push against the injustices of this region. And they're going to see the miracles of God. Do it through this man of God and the vision you've given him.
Praise you, Jesus.
Do you love your pastors? Come
praise
on, do you love
Jesus.
Them? Amen.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, God.
I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to go back to your seat for just a moment. And I'm going to ask you to have a seat for just a second. Let me share one quick thing with you of what we're doing for a group of orphans in Mobile. Hallelujah. When the pandemic started, we didn't know what to do, Brother Broadus. We lost all of our services in 1 week. Everything canceled in 1 week. So we just didn't know what to do. And you just keep playing, Miss Renee, if you don't mind, if you're not too tired. And so we just said, Lord, what do you want us to do? And the Lord said, start a lawn business. And through that, the Lord has given us a widow's ministry. We have 12 widows in Mobile. He took us back to James 1:27 to visit the fatherless and the widows. And so we have 12 widows. They call me their personal evangelist, that I go to their house and cut their grass for them and keep their lawns for them and bless them and pray for them in their home. And we've seen God just do miracles. And then the Lord took us to the orphans of Mobile, and we never even knew this was in Mobile, because when we think of orphans, we typically think of children, but we found a group of 9 adults, 35 or above, that are all mentally challenged, that were living under the bridges in Mobile, and a sweet African-American lady in Mobile had an old rental house down on Dolphin Island Parkway, right down there on the bay, that she said, you can live here. There was nothing in the house. There was no refrigerator. There was no power. There was no water. But she gave them a place to sleep. And when we found out about it, we've raised the money and we've gotten the water turned on and the power turned on and a hot water heater and a refrigerator and a washer and dryer. And we've gotten the house fun. And all of these, their parents are either dead or they've completely rejected them because of their mental illnesses. And we did a Christmas in July for them. Last Christmas, they got nothing for Christmas. And so we did a Christmas for July and July for them, and it was beautiful, all the gifts that we were able to give to them and take care of them. And we just found out back in December that the house that they're living in is sinking because it's right there on the bay, and the city's wanting to condemn the house. It's a 1954 wood structure house. We've put a new roof on the house. We've gotten all the things working in the house, but we got to go in and support the structure, and we got to rebuild a lot of the decking because it's rotten. And so we've had some companies come in, and it's going to cost us about $8,000 to do that. And so I'm just going to ask you today to pray. And if you believe in what we're doing, how many believe I'm an evangelist? At my core, I am an evangelist. And my job is to stand beside the man of God and serve him. And I love my friend. And he gave me this chance just to share with you. Would you get your checkbook out or your wallet out or your neighbor's checkbook or your neighbor's wallet? And would you just go ahead and give like you always wanted to. Hallelujah. Now, if I could tell you that you could give an offering and you would get a 1,000% return, would you want that? If I could tell you could invest your money in something that would give you a 1,000 rate return, would you want that? Well, giving into orphans and giving into widows is something that's very tender to God. And we work every week helping small churches. There's churches all over Alabama that are just that close to closing. And we're asking our superintendent to never close another church without letting us go in first and do these outreaches to help gather people and rebuild the churches. But it takes us about $2,500 a week. Just how many know somebody to help Billy Graham? Did you know somebody had to help Billy Graham? They didn't give him stadiums for free. They didn't give him PA systems for free or flights for free. He had to raise all those funds. So this is just what God's called us to do, and there's no pressure on anybody because God loves a cheerful giver, but he will take money from a grump. Hallelujah. So will you pray and will you ask the Lord if you can help us toward these orphans and these widows and these churches? And there may be somebody here, the Lord says you can give the whole $8,000 toward that. If that's you, you spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. And we need your help. Amen. Will you pray? Will you bow your heads? Ask the Lord what you can do. I feel like the Lord sent me here this week to help pastor and to serve him and to serve this church. And I've worked very hard since I got here. But I'm going to ask you to help me now and help the ministry to reach these people. I promise you we'll take your resources and we'll use them. Holy Spirit, would you show the people what you would have them to give? And Lord, not $1 more, $1 less. And show them, Lord, how we can help these people and we can win souls, that this ministry exists to win souls, and we'll do it until you come in Jesus' name. And if you agree, everybody say amen. Everybody say, I love the little preacher. I think he's a sweet little man. Hold on to your keys. Don't lose them. Confess him and stand with your pastor. Amen. Come on, pastor.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. If you want to give toward the ministry he just mentioned, you can get an envelope. You can do it online also, but you can designate your giving. Just put Johnny's house or guest speaker, whatever. It'll all go to the ministry he just mentioned. You can drop it in the box right out there in the lobby. And so God bless you. Wasn't this a great day? And those who came forward and prayed to receive Christ, those of you that prayed with them, would you go to them and give them some encouragement? We've got some Bibles and some literature back here we'd love to give you. And so if you came forward and prayed, don't run out the door. Give these people a chance to get to you, or you go to them, the ones that prayed for you. And we just want to encourage you and get your name so we can pray for you. And we will have a baptism. I'm just going to go ahead and set the date, February 20th. Okay, February 20th, we'll baptize, and we want to baptize you in recognition of your decision to follow Christ. So why don't you stand with me? Father, we love you. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for receiving us into your family. Thank you for the keys you've given us. Lord, may we go and show and tell what you have done in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you responded to today's message, or you would like for us to join with you in prayer on a specific need, just go to the link in the comments below. We would love to hear from you. And if you would like to worship through giving, you can go to our website, lakecityhe.org, and click the Give button. For more inspirational messages, check us out on our YouTube channel, Lake City Gville. We hope to see you next week.